Well, as I mentioned before, it is good to be back with you. We've been away for 3 months, or 3 weeks, not months. My family thinks it's about 3 months because they're sick of me now. They're like, I think my little guy asked, when's daddy going back to work? It's so, but we have missed being with you, and we had a wonderful time away, but I love that we can come back. Not only that, I also love that our sermons are online. I could keep tabs and listen and be blessed as you guys were blessed, and that, and so, man, we just had some amazing, wonderful people fill this pulpit. While I was away, Jesse on the first week, he spoke about you were made for this, or you were made for this. And he was talking about how the hardships in our lives can be a process of defining who we are in Christ. And Ed spoke so eloquently and lovely and clearly about the love of God and how Jesus is the full embodiment of that love. And then last week with Pastor Jeff Andrews, a former pastor of here at Abundant Life back in the 90s, he shared honestly and openly how God can use the darkest times in our lives as ministry to us and also to others. So powerful, all these words, so powerful what God can do. Well, today I want to talk to you about something about taking a breather and the importance of rest and how taking a rest is important. And life can get hectic at times, and our schedules can be constantly on the go, 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 go with no breaks in sight. And I ran into a couple at a community event recently, and they had mentioned that they hadn't seen me for a while. And I kind of thought, well, you know our paths usually cross sporadically. And I was like, well, I've been around. But then I kind of got thinking about my schedule just before holidays. I said, I've been on holidays for the last 2.5 weeks. You know, maybe that's. And they said, well, usually we see you around town or this and that. And I kind of got thinking about my schedule leading up to our holidays. It was kind of a go, 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 go. And I kind of was like, oh, and then I went to men's golf, which I try to go to on Wednesday mornings and have some fellowship with usually a crowd that I would never normally run into or hang with. And so anyways, I hadn't been there for such a long time, and I show up one Wednesday morning during my, I think just before my holidays, and the guys were looking at me and said, yeah, we were wondering if you were still at the church, if you were still pastoring there, maybe you'd moved on. And I was like, okay, whatever, you know. So it was kind of nice that I was missed, right? The preacher's being missed at golf. And I don't mind that. You know, I kind of enjoyed being missed, you know. And recently, you know, I was talking in conversation with another pastor, and we were just talking about ministry schedules and sometimes how it just seems like our events or our schedules kind of overlap one another, and you just get done one and then you're off to the next one and off to the next one and off to the next one. And we're talking about like breaks in ministry. And I remember we were just chatting like, when's the kind of downtimes in ministry? And we actually figured it out. It's the week between Christmas and New Year's. And then when we take vacation, that's usually the downtime in ministry. It's weird, but it just happens that way. And life in general has demands upon us, right? And time restraints, and that can keep us busy, right? And rest, it's important. In those seasons, it's okay that sometimes those seasons are a little bit busier than others, but it's important to be able to step back or even step out and take a breather. It's important. And then there's those times when it's not just busyness, but there's times of trouble or hardships that start brewing in our lives. And whether it's trouble at work, trouble in our marriage, or trouble with our children, or trouble with the lack of finances, the zeros are kind of in the wrong spot on our bank statements, or maybe it's just trouble with our health, or trouble in, you fill in the blank. You fill in the blank where that trouble would be. And sometimes it feels like there's no let up from the constant, never-ending grind and what's happening to us. And it kind of like the weather on the August long weekend, right? It was wind, rain, lightning, thunder, and then more rain and rain and rain, and then a little break of sunshine, and then back to the wind and the rain. It was like constant all weekend long. It was crazy. We had wonderful plans planned with family all weekend long, and the weather kind of dictated what we could and couldn't do and stuff. And it just kind of feels like it just kind of is on top of, and it just kind of relate builds up and builds up. And sometimes those troubling times in our lives, though we can handle the nonstop onslaught for a while, it eventually wears on us and grinds us down and wears us down until the pressure causes us to collapse. And for some of you that battle migraines, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, that pressure that you can feel it coming on, and it is just constant. And you got to sit back or lay back, or anybody that's dealing with chronic pain, you know what I'm talking about. It's just that onslaught, and it just doesn't let up. And so I know it can sound a bit cliche, but if we walk in the Spirit, we can avoid many pitfalls in life, and the devil, and not only that, and the things that the devil throws our way. However, that does not mean we can avoid them all. We can avoid many, but we can't avoid them all. Truth of the matter is, as long as we live here on earth, where the devil actively seeks to kill, steal, and destroy, there will be troubles from time to time in our lives. We will experience that. You know what? I always think of people who give their lives to Jesus Christ, right? They give their lives to Jesus Christ, and they just fill with so much zeal, and the things are going so good, and things are going so great. And then all of a sudden, without any warning, they get blindsided by this and blindsided by that. And I always tell new believers this: expect it. Expect it. Anytime you make a bold move for Jesus Christ, the devil's not going to like it. And he's going to throw something at you. I've seen that where we've baptized even people. And we baptize them, and they're like, they're at a high point in their life. And I want to just remind all of those that are getting baptized, hey, take that bold step. Let nothing hold you from that bold step. But also remember, the devil doesn't like it when we make a step for Jesus. When we make a step for Jesus in a bold step like that, he's going to come at us. But you don't have to live in fear, because Jesus has overcome the world, right? And he will help us overcome. But don't fear the troubled times, right? Don't fear them, because he walks with us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, right? When I walk, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, right? His staff and his rod, they comfort me. We know that he is with us, but there will be times where trouble will come into our lives. So it's important to know how to respond when we're going through these times, and it seems like the problems are nonstop and there's no relief from the stress we're experiencing. But I want to just remind you that you know, even in the first century, when new Christians gave their lives to Jesus Christ, they faced pressures too. I mean, a little bit more serious from maybe our first world problems. They were facing death on a constant basis for what they believed. And I love how Paul, one of those first century followers of Jesus who experienced many hardships in his life, encouraged the church that was planted in Thessalonica. He said this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. And I'm going to be using the King James Version because I love how it's worded here. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. That was his encouragement. Rest with us. Now, it doesn't seem much of a big deal unless, of course, you knew what was happening at Thessalonica during that time. And during the time that Paul had wrote this, and Paul and his missions team went there to spread the good news of the gospel. They were on a mission, a missionary journey. And they were sharing how Jesus is the one and only Son of God, and that he is the Messiah that everybody was waiting for, and that he came to save all humanity, not just the Jews, but the Gentiles. What are Gentiles? Anybody who's not Jew, right? Anybody who's not a Jew is a Gentile. So Jesus came to save everyone, and he saved us. What did he save us from? From the punishment of sin and the death. The Bible so eloquently explains it, that death is the punishment for sin. And Jesus, in our stead, died for all humanity. And in Acts chapter 17, verse 4, some of the Jews, as well as a large number of God-fearing Greeks, believed and received the gospel, and the church of Thessalonica was planted and began to flourish. It began to flourish when people heard the good news about Jesus. And they received it, but it came at a cost. This church faced immediate opposition from the prominent Jews who rejected Paul's teaching, saying there's no way that Jesus could be the Messiah because he died a criminal's death, a disgusting, a disrespectful, it was a despicable death. No Messiah would die. No, the Messiah is coming to rule. And they were looking for a government leader. They weren't looking for a savior from our sins. So they felt that this new movement was blasphemous. They thought it was sacrilegious. How dare you say that Jesus is the way and that Jesus is the Son of God? They were irritated by that. And so a lot of these prominent Jews started to persecute them. And because of the spiritual, religious, and political environment in Thessalonica, all those who followed Jesus faced intense persecution. Not just persecution, intense persecution. Now, persecution in North America would look like, well, we're just going to badmouth you on social media. We're just going to ruin your reputation in the community. That would have been very light back in Thessalonica. No, they would haul you into the streets and stone you to death. The Romans would crucify you. The Greeks would take everything from you. It was ruthless what these guys did to these early Christians at the hands of zealous Jews, angry Greeks, and the Roman Empire, the ruthless Roman Empire. They were beaten, they were tortured, they were stoned to death, and even crucified. Being a follower of Jesus during the first century was a definite health hazard. It was a health hazard to be a Christian. And I love Paul's encouraging words to the Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, wonderful scriptures to share at a funeral. But this is what he says: "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know that what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope." As if to remind them, hey, listen, people, there's more. There's more. Paul was basically saying, listen, death is not the end. Death is only the entranceway. And he says, don't grieve. We don't have to grieve like people who have no hope. And he says in verse 14, "For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died ahead of us." He will bring them back, all of those that have died ahead of us, which means they're alive today. Those that have passed on before us that are in Jesus Christ are alive. They are with our Savior, with our Father in heaven. In the midst of all the persecution, the Church of Jesus Christ was being established. It was being established in the midst of persecution. No matter what pounding pressure they faced, they refused to surrender, and they were relentless in their pursuit of Christ and to the spreading of the gospel. And day after day, they lived, breathed, and functioned without any relief within the climate of extreme persecution and pressure. And in the midst of all of this, Paul says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us." Well, how's that possible, Paul? We're being persecuted. We're being persecuted. In our time remaining, I want to just examine two words. Two words. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. And those two words are troubled and rest. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us." The word troubled was like Paul's main go-to word, right? When it came to describing difficulty or difficult events he and his team encountered in ministry, the word troubled would come up many times. And this is what it means in the Greek. Now, it's a little bit tricky to pronounce, but I'm going to teach it to you this morning. So you ready for this? You ready for this? Philipsis. Philipsis, all right? Now, think of flip with a lisp, right? Flip, flipsis. right? And now you add the sis. So you got flip and sis. Philipsis. Now philipsis. Now say it with me. Say philipsis. Say it one more time. Philipsis. All right, you just learned some Greek. When next time you're talking to somebody, oh, it's all Greek to me. Philipsis, right? Right? But this is what this word means, right? It conveys the idea of heavy pressure in a situation. One scholar, an educated theologian who studies the Bible for a living, kind of like a pastor, just way, way smarter. Anyways, this one scholar says this regarding this word. It was first used to describe a specific act of tying a victim with a rope, right? Tying a rope, laying him on his back, and then placing a huge boulder on top of him until his body was crushed. Whoa, that's intense, all. That's intense, right? Other English words to describe philipsis are oppression, affliction, tribulation, and distress, right? Paul used this word to alert us to moments when he or others went through grueling, crushing situations that would have been unbearable, intolerable, and even impossible to survive if it had not been for the help of the Holy Spirit. If it had not been for the help of the Holy Spirit. And there are times when I used to work out in our church parking lot with my good friend Dave. And you'll see a picture of him here. And we did a lot of working out. We had tires, right? And we did a lot of brutal things with those tires. We'd flip the tires, carry the tires, drag the tires, hit those hammer those tires with crazy heavy sludge hammers. And then we'd even do step up on the tires. Those tires made me tired. He still does it today. I wish I was still doing it today because I could be big like him. I wish he was going to be here this morning, but he was unable to make it because he'd love that picture. Count the weights on there in that picture to the right. That's insane, y'all. That's insane. This guy's a machine. And I tell you, we did so many things. And just when I started to get comfortable with just the tires, then he'd introduce this thing called battle ropes. I call them troubled ropes, right? Like the word philipsis. They were philipsis ropes, okay? They hurt. And he'd buy these small ones that were like this, and they were like 75 feet long, and you're like doing this, and it hurts. And then he got bigger ones, and they hurt more. And I was, Dave, stop. Stop it. And it was intense. And it was intense. And then he created this thing called Fun Fridays, which are not fun at all. They're not fun at all. I got a video on my phone that makes me just wince with pain when I see what he all does. It's not fun. It's opposite of fun. It's philipsis. And so, but what I love about Dave, not only would he be the source of my intense pain with these tires and these battle ropes and sledgehammers, we'd even do log push-ups or whatever presses or whatever. He would encourage me along the way. He says, come on, you can do it. You can do it. Don't give up. You can do it. We're almost there. And then he would count down the reps for me. And then, or he would count down the steps for me, or count down the timer for me. He was there encouraging me to go on and move on. And I miss those days. Not only do I miss those days of being with him, I don't miss the workout part. I don't miss that at all. I don't miss the intensity, but I do miss the endorphin rush afterwards. And those that have worked out know what I mean. I think, Jen, are you signed up for boot camp this 6 a.m. tomorrow? Have fun. But I tell you, that endorphin rush is such a rush. I mean, the rush, it's like those chemicals that are released from your pituitary glands, which are located at the base of your brain. And these endorphins that are released make you feel exhilarated and happy and block out any feelings of pain so that you can power through any discomfort caused by exercising. My happy place after those workouts were in my office, enjoying that rush, sipping a Gatorade. So when Paul says, he says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. He means let up, to relax, to stop being stressed, to find relief, to find your happy place. Now the Greek word for rest is anisis. Say it with me, anisis. Say it again, anisis. Now turn to somebody beside you. I think you need some anisis. Turn to the other person beside you, but not yet, because the preacher is still preaching. Not yet. You can wait till later. You can wait. Anisis. Anisis. One scholar notes that this word used in the secular Greek world denote the release of a bowstring that has been under great pressure. It also used figuratively to mean relaxation from stresses of life or freedom, to have a little recreation. In this case, Paul is urging the Thessalonian church to find relief from the constant stress they were going through as a result of opposition to their faith. It was like Paul was saying, let it go, let it go, right? He was saying, let it go, just let it go. Or kind of like Jesse preached a few weeks ago, just shake, shake, shake it off. Come on, just shake it off, right? Just shake it off. Shake off those pressures. Shake off those difficult times. Shake off the thalipsis. Right? One of the best ways I find to relax, to let it go, to shake it off, is by unplugging. Unplugging. I gotta tell you, our holidays, it's glorious. We usually go to a cabin far, far away in a land, a different land, and we go there, and we found this place by accident a few years ago. And we went there and realized that there was no cell reception and no Wi-Fi. It was heaven on earth, y'all. It was awesome. You were at the beach. You were playing games with your families. You were taking time to read, enjoying time by the campfire. Things that you don't normally do at home, which you probably should, but you just don't because there's so many other distractions. We loved it so much that first year we ended up going for 3 years straight. This last year, we had to head in the opposite direction because of a family wedding. So we rented an Airbnb, and we found out that there was limited cell reception and no Wi-Fi. Again, heaven on earth. I was able to completely unplug. It was beautiful. Yes, people, there are places in Canada that have worse Wi-Fi reception or cell reception than Lac des Bonnes, Manitoba. All right? And it was great. It was awesome. We had more FaceTime than we did screen time, which was great. It was so good. It was so good. I mean, unfortunately, Paige was a working girl, and she had a full-time job and wasn't able to join us for the entire time, but it was okay because we needed a break from her, too. We need to unplug from her, and she needed to unplug from us. It was all good. It was all good. And but one of the most memorable times on our holidays that Melanie and I were just totally to completely withdraw was when we went to Thermia Spa in Winnipeg. Now, I officiated a wedding in the springtime, and after investing in this couple's marriage, the bride and groom decided to invest in our marriage, and they gave us gift certificates for Thermia. Now, doesn't that look like an amazing place to go? I gotta tell you, at first I thought, oh, a spa. Awesome. A spa. Woohoo. Never been there before. No, guys don't usually talk about the spa, right? I thought this is a girl thing, right? I don't mean to be sexist. I'm not trying to be sexist or stereotypical. You hear girls talking about their wonderful time at the spas. You don't hear guys saying that ever, right? They'll talk about the amazing football game they went through or the intense workout that they had or the band that they listened to or just like manly stuff. Like, I got a new lawnmower and this thing doesn't just have one gear that goes forward. It's got like five, right? We got all these wonderful things that we talk about. We don't talk about the spa. I'm here to talk about the spa. This morning, we went there. Now, I got to just tell you, this is awesome. It was awesome. Like, we went there, and you have to unplug. You have no choice. That's part of the rules. So when you go there, you have to be, in order to get in, at least 16 years of age or older. Check. We like that. No kids. Ha! Yeah! yeah. And all the parents in the room are like, oh yeah, amen. Send me, pastor, send me. I'll go for you, right? And then there's no cell phones allowed in the spa area. Not allowed. So there's no ringing of phones and nobody but dings or chirps or anything. There's nothing. You can't take pictures or video or anything of it. Right? And then to maximize relaxation for all the guests, you have to whisper. You've got to whisper to your partner that you're with. No loud voices, no loud laughter. There was none of that. It was quiet. They had soothing music and wonderful smells and scents that totally calming and relaxing. I mean, they had 1,000,001 saunas. It was crazy. And they're dark and you go in and you're like, woo! They had like a salt exfoliation shower. They had like cold pools with waterfalls, and they had warm pools and then even hot pools, and they were great. And then they had relaxation areas where there was like beds, like outdoor beds. They even had a dark room where you had to be totally quiet. And then they had like hammocks, which I didn't find totally relaxing, because I, at first it was great relaxation, and then Mulaney wanted to join me in the hammock. And I was like, this doesn't work. Maybe for skinny people, but not heavyweight like me. Right? So she comes in and I'm like this, hey, and I'm like, oh, this is really comfortable. I feel relaxed, Mulaney. And she's like, oh, you know, just loving it. Right? But it was great. And they had loungers in the sun. It is a wonderful, wonderful place of relaxation. And then there's no smoking allowed in there. And there's no parties or anything. It's just all quiet. And then everybody has to walk around in bathrobes. Bathrobes. People, it's glorious. I'm like already there in my happy place right now. I know it sounds like an ad for Thermea, but our experience of a few hours totally kid-free, unplugged, and focusing on nothing was so great. Guys, we get to go to our nothing place. You know that nothing box in our brains where we think about nothing? It's actually suggested and commanded that you go there. So your wife can't ask you what you're thinking about and she has to be satisfied with the answer of nothing, because that's good, because then it's working. We get to go to our nothing place, guys. It's fantastic. Nothingness is encouraged. But seriously, I really felt at that time what it was like to be still. Just to be still. And it gave a whole new meaning to what the psalmist wrote. In Psalm 46:10, he says, be still and know that I am God. But listen, you don't need to schedule a cabin or book a cabin in a secluded area or go to Thermea Spa to just get some anisus. When you're commuting to Winnipeg, instead of putting the radio on or turning on music, just turn everything off and go in silence and allow God to speak to you. Allow God to speak to you. It's a chance to escape your situations in life and focus on your Savior. Allow Holy Spirit to speak to you in the silence. If you got young kids and they're tucked in for the night, instead of going to the television and flipping it on, open a book, preferably the Bible, and let God just soak into your soul. Allow Him to whisper into your soul. Or maybe in the morning, if you're a morning person, wake up in the early hours and grab a coffee, a tea, or an orange juice and spend some time with Jesus. You can escape in your own place. Don't reach for the cell phone. Don't be enticed by social media. Go unplugged. I was talking with a business owner the other day, and his take on social media was this, and he's a young guy. He says, it can be very depressing and stressful. See, all we see on social media is people's pinnacle moments in life. We start comparing how they look happier than we are. Their family looks more perfect than ours, and their kids are angels compared to ours, and their vacations look more exotic and exciting. But what we don't see is it took 40 tries to get that perfect Instagram moment. And that whole hashtag no filter, hashtag shelter, a natural, hashtag blessed, right? I want to just add hashtag liar, right, to that. Or we don't see that on their vacations that it rained 6 out of the 7 days, and they had like 1 hour of sunshine and they snapped that perfect picture. We don't know. We only see the pinnacle. We only see what people want us to see, right? Or social media can be the other way where it's exhausting. You go on and you hear everybody's rants about every little thing. They hang out their laundry on there and it's like, holy smokes, people. Wow, you really need to get friends. You really need to get friends because those are the people you rant to. Because then they can help you and encourage you and strengthen you instead of just be some distant voice of liking your comment or saying some word. Like, we need friends. We need social interaction, not social media, to give rest to our souls. But I want to just encourage you this way. And I know how hard it is to unplug because my life is strapped to that phone. My schedule's on there. My appointment's on there. My contact lists are on there. But it's good to take a rest, to step back, to take a breather. I heard a preacher encourage his congregation to fuel up with God's word before even reaching for the phone in the morning. He challenged those to use their digital devices, who use their digital devices for devotions, to get the hard copy version instead so that you can be unplugged, right? All we need is some odnesis. Our health, wealth, and soul's condition depend on it. God set the tone for us in Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 to 3. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. And so on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. See, God knew the importance of rest. He knew the importance of rest. Though the Greek word in that passage is actually called Shabbat, from which we get the word Sabbath, which means to cease from any movement or labor in order to recover and collect strength, to give rest, to refresh. But you kind of see what I'm getting at here. Rest is important and involves stepping back or even stepping out. And God felt rest was an essential part of human existence. He felt it was so important that he made it a command. That he made it a command. He didn't say, protect the Sabbath and keep it holy for his benefit. He did it for ours. All of ours. He did it for us. He says, you need a break. You need Sabbath. You need Sabbath. And when he means holy, keep it sacred. Keep that rest sacred. Keep it sacred. Don't let anything else cloud your rest. Keep it sacred. Right? God designed each and every one of us here. He formed us and weaved us together ever so eloquently in our mother's wombs. And we were fearfully and wonderfully made in God's image. And he created us with a default setting called rest. And I believe there's a correlation between mental illness and the lack of rest in our culture. The lack of rest in our culture. Our culture demands and requires so much of us that we lack rest. I was just talking to somebody the other day that I knew some oil riggers working in Alberta. And they would work 3 weeks solid with 1 week off. 21 days straight with no rest. And then 1 week off. I remember meeting with a guy who was driving transport. He was driving truck. I met him in his hotel room. And he would say on those 7 days off, he'd drink himself completely. Just he was drunk all week until he got back to work again. And then he'd sober up. We need a rest. We need a rest. We need those times to step back and step out. Jesus also knew the importance of rest. It says in Luke 5:16, but Jesus often withdrew to a lonely place, to lonely places and prayed. He rested in the arms of his Father. And in Luke 8:22-25, we see how Jesus rested peacefully in a boat during a horrific storm. Right? Which means you can rest anywhere. You just need to make the choice to rest. And in Matthew chapter 14, after Jesus learned of John the Baptist's horrific death, not only was his dear friend, was he a dear friend, but he was also a relative. And then after that powerful day of ministry of feeding the 5,000 people In Matthew 14, 22, immediately Jesus made his disciples get in a boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. If you're feeling depleted, fatigued, it is possible that you need to get away and get some anesthesia. Could it be that the Lord is urging you to take a breather from the constant pace you're maintaining so you can shake off the problems and relax a little bit? Don't you agree that when we're under constant pressure, it affects our ability to think right and see clearly? Here's a different, more interpretive translation of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. To you who are going through difficulties right now, it's time for you to let up. Take a breather and relax. We know what it is like to be under constant pressure, but no one can stay under that kind of pressure or that kind of stress continuously. So join us in learning how to loosen up a bit, shake off your troubles, and allow yourself a little relaxation and time for recreation. And what better way to take a breather than to run in the arms of our Savior Jesus, who I believe is saying to somebody specifically and directly here this morning. In Matthew 11, 28, he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you anesthesia. I will give you rest." Why don't you stand to your feet? I'm going to call the worship team forward. And I want to just pray a prayer closing today, because maybe you're here and you're thinking, man, I could really use some of that rest. Take time today. Maybe take a drive. Maybe you need a nap. Maybe your body's exhausted and you need a nap. Maybe you need to develop a hobby so you can take brain breaks. I was talking to a friend this last week and I said, I think I need a hobby. Because I think about church 24/7. I think about church. I think about how we can tell more people about Jesus. I think about how we can better disciple people into the knowledge of Jesus and to live a committed lifestyle for Christ. And then how we can send people out. I think about that constantly. But there's just times where I just need a rest. Just to totally unplug. And resting isn't watching sports, because my sports team doesn't really do well. So that's not rest, right? And rest can't be found on social media, because then I start comparing my life to somebody else. Just kind of annoy me. I need rest. So things that I enjoy doing is mowing the grass. I have rest. And it's kind of a twofold, because then I have purpose too in my rest. And there's a sense of accomplishment. But sometimes we just need something to give our minds a break. Because God has developed these wonderful brains for a reason, for a purpose. I pray that you guys this week, regardless of what philipsis you're going through, that you will experience some anesthesia. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. Lord, I pray that this would be life-giving to somebody today. I pray that it would minister to our souls and encourage us, Father, and strengthen us, Lord, that after we receive this rest, this anesthesia, this Shabbat, Lord, that we would be able to think more clearly, see more clearly, operate more efficiently, Lord, so that we can rest again. We thank you, Lord, for commanding rest. So we receive that word. In Jesus' name, amen.